The scripture reading this evening will be from Hebrews chapter 4, verse 13, and I'll be reading from the New King James Version. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 13. And there is no creature hidden from his sight, but all things are naked and open to the eyes of him to whom we must give account.
Good to be here tonight. We appreciate everyone's presence. Hope everyone had a good afternoon and got some rest, and we're ready to focus our minds on spiritual things. We should be thankful that God has created us as free moral agents. We have often emphasized we're blessed that God didn't create us like robots without any free will. Of course, that's sort of contrary to what Calvinists believe. They think that we are born without free will, though only with regard to spiritual things, they would say that. They recognize that we do have free will, but they don't think we can make any spiritual decisions. But the fact of the matter is, we can. And there are many passages that emphasize that fact. Joshua chapter 24, of course, emphasizes the fact that we have a free will. You remember Joshua said that he and his house would serve the Lord. And that was making a spiritual decision, wasn't it? And so we have the ability to do that. The fact of the matter is, God is not going to force you or me or anyone else to serve him, to live any certain kind of way. He leaves it up to us whether or not we're going to be faithful to him. And so, with that in mind, tonight, just for a little while, very simple lesson. I want to talk to you about things we cannot escape. And the very first thing that we should recognize we can't escape is our accountability before God. Like again, you can make the decision not to serve God, but you can never do away with the fact that you'll be held accountable. Now, we do have a responsibility. I don't want you to misunderstand that. We have a responsibility, each and every one of us, to serve God. He is our creator, and so we bear that responsibility. And in fact, if you turn over to 2 Corinthians chapter 5, listen to what Paul says about this. 2 Corinthians, the fifth chapter. And let's begin reading at verse 14. 2 Corinthians 5 and at verse 14. Paul says, for the love of Christ controls us, because we have concluded this, that one has died for all, therefore all have died. Now, obviously, he's talking about spiritual death there. All have died, and he died for all, that those who live might no longer live for themselves, but for him who for their sake died and was raised. And so everyone for whom Christ died should live for him. Of course, in another place in Hebrews chapter 2 and at verse 9, we find that Jesus tasted death not for a small group of people, again, like Calvinists would have us to believe, but he tasted death for every man. Well, according to this passage in 2 Corinthians 5, then, every man, everyone that Jesus died for is responsible to live for him. And so we have a responsibility there. And wherever you have a responsibility, then you have accountability. And certainly we're going to be held accountable. Here in this very chapter, in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, most of you are familiar with verse 10. Paul says, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, so that each one may receive what is due for what he has done in the body, whether good or evil. So you have the ability to choose good or evil. But at the end of the day, we're going to be accountable to God. We cannot escape that. You can make any decision you want to, but you can't escape that accountability. A second thing, then, that we cannot escape is the all-seeing eye of God. We're accountable to Him, and we can't fool Him. We can't deceive Him. We can't do anything and think, well, somehow, some way, God is not going to be aware of this action that I have taken. Everything we do, He sees. We had the scripture reading just a few moments ago in Hebrews chapter 4 at verse 13 that emphasizes that God sees all of His creation, all creatures. And I've emphasized with regard to that passage that it really is an amazing statement when you stop and think about it. That God sees every creature, all of His creation. You just stop and think how massive His creation is. Just talking now, not about the heavens and the earth, we've talked about that before, and all the stars and the great creation of God, His handiwork, that's of course impressive and demonstrates His great divine power. But just think about His living creatures. He sees everything that we do, but He sees everything that every animal does. And not just the major species of animals. Every time an insect moves, God sees it. That's really amazing when you stop and think about it. Every creature is seen by God. A passage I think that we're familiar with again, but really emphasizes the omniscience of God, is Psalms 139. Turn your Bibles over there just for a moment. Let's go ahead and read at least a little bit of that. Psalms 139. David, of course, is the author of this, and he recognizes that as mankind, we simply cannot escape the all-seeing eye of God. Beginning at verse 1, it says, O Lord, You have searched me and known me. You know when I sit down and when I rise up. So right away, we see God sees everything about us, even the small, insignificant things that we do. Every step that we take, God sees it. He knows when we sit down. You just stop and think about that. Every time you take a seat, God sees it. Every time you get back up from taking that seat, God sees it. He discerns my thoughts, David said, from afar off. You search out my path and my lying down and are acquainted not with some or even most, but all my ways. David recognized that he was never, ever, ever out of the sight of the all-seeing eye of God. Even before a word is on my tongue, behold, O Lord, You know it altogether. Now you just stop and think again what David has just said. He knows our thoughts afar off. In other words, He knows not only what you think, He knows what you are about to think. Like, we can't even relate to that kind of knowledge. He knows every word that you speak, but He knows the words that you're going to speak before they're even formed on your tongue. That's the God that we serve. When we stop tonight and we think about the fact that we cannot escape accountability, we cannot escape answering to God, we better at the same time recognize that we can't escape His all-seeing eye. If there was anything that was going to stop us from sinning, anything that would cause us, motivate us to live the way God wants us to live, it is the fact that every single thing that you do, every word that you speak, is seen and heard by God. We simply cannot escape that. And we can't escape, number three, we can't escape the consequences of the choices that we make, the consequences of our sin. And there are all kinds of consequences, even from a physical standpoint. We could talk about that. But with regard to God, the primary consequence of sin, of course, is the wrath of God. And we can't escape that. I would hope when we stop and think about even some of the physical problems that come along with sin. The Bible outlines that. Read sometime Romans chapter 1 and see some of the problems that Paul refers to. Those who were committing homosexual acts, they bore the burden of that in their own body. And we understand that the drunkard sometimes has to pay the price physically. The smoker has to pay the price physically for their trespasses. But what is even more serious than that is that, again, we cannot escape the wrath of God. One passage that's sort of graphic with regard to that is Revelation chapter 14. Turn in your Bibles over there. Revelation chapter 14. And as you flip over there, understand in the context, Paul is really dealing with those who would turn away from him and serve other gods. He's particularly talking about those who would be guilty of turning to the emperor and being involved in emperor worship. But while that may be the immediate context of Revelation chapter 14, the fact of the matter is there's a consequence for any sin. It doesn't have to be idolatry. If you make up in your mind, if you exercise your free will to live your own way instead of God's way, then you will bring upon yourself the wrath of God. So, in Revelation chapter 14 at verse 9, it says, "And another angel, a third, followed them, saying with a loud voice, if anyone worships the beast in its image and receives a mark on his forehead or on his hand, he also will drink the wine of God's wrath." And again, we understand that figurative language there to be pointing to the idea of emperor worship. But he will drink of the wine of God's wrath. Listen, poured full strength into the cup of his anger. And he will be tormented with fire and sulfur in the presence of holy angels and in the presence of the Lamb. And the smoke of their torment goes up forever and ever. And they have no rest day or night. These worshipers of the beast in its image and whoever receives the mark of its name. That's the consequences that you will face. That is, if you decide to take your own way, if you decide to live in sin, and then you die in that undone condition, you will experience, this passage says, the full force of God's wrath, poured out without mixture. For how long? Forever and ever, there will be real torment, according to not only this passage, but many passages. There'll be real torment, and that torment will last forever and ever and ever and ever. That's the consequence of sin. You will die, of course, spiritually, but ultimately you will find yourself cast into that lake of fire, where there will be torment forever. So you have the ability to choose. And we are blessed that we have that ability. I suspect that hearing all of that, there are some people that might say, I wish God would have created me as a robot. But he didn't want to do that. He could have done that. But that wasn't his will. And he's the creator. We're the creatures. We can't tell the creator how to create. He created us with the free will, but now we have a responsibility, and with responsibility, accountability. And we'll have to pay the price if we decide that we are going to sin. Now, I said a moment ago that if you die in your sin, then you will experience the full force of God's wrath. But understand, here's another thing. You cannot escape, and that, of course, is death. We're all going to die, aren't we? The Hebrew writer in Hebrews chapter 9 and at verse 27 emphasizes, it is appointed unto man once to die. We start off many funerals. In fact, I start off almost every funeral that I do, emphasizing the fact that death is a reality. But we don't need a funeral to understand that. Almost all of us here tonight have experienced death on behalf of a loved one or a friend, someone that we're close to. It is inescapable. And I think all of us realize that if the Lord doesn't come back first, that each and every one of us are going to die. We simply cannot escape that. So the question is, will you die prepared or unprepared to meet your Creator? Will you die in sin? Or will you die having your sins taken care of by the precious blood of Jesus Christ? But one thing we know, we are going to die. And in fact, James chapter 4, as most of us know, emphasizes the fact that life is like a vapor. It appears for a while and then vanishes away. You may not have as much time as you think. Again, we often point out, and rightfully so, that death is no respecter of persons. Well, I'm young and I have a lot of time, and maybe after a while, after I finish doing my own thing and enjoying life, I maybe think about serving God. Well, you might die before that time, because death is no respecter of persons. Well, I just came from the doctor the other day, and I'm healthy, and the doctor was impressed in the great shape that I'm in. Sometimes people who are in perfect health die. Sometimes the doctors miss things. But sometimes there's accidents that happen. We heard just of the pileup the other day. Someone was talking about where several people lost their lives. All you have to do is turn on the TV. Every time you watch a newscast, you read something about somebody dying somewhere. And guess what? In most of those cases, the people who have lost their lives, they did not realize, they could not imagine when they got out of bed that morning that that would be their last day on earth. But that's life, isn't it? It is like a vapor. It vanishes away. And so we understand that we're going to die, but also we need to know. We don't know exactly when or how we're going to die. And so again, the best course to follow is simply to make sure that you're prepared when that event happens. But you cannot escape death. And, of course, if you die in your sin, you realize that there's going to be ultimately a resurrection, and you can't escape the verdict that you are going to receive. If you turn over to John chapter 5, John the 5th chapter, Jesus speaks of this resurrection. Beginning at verse 28, John the 5th chapter, and notice if you would at verse 28, this is Jesus, of course, and Jesus says, "Do not marvel at this, for an hour is coming when all are in the tombs, and will hear his voice, and come out those who have done good to the resurrection of life, and those who have done evil to the resurrection of life." Of judgment. That is the resurrection of damnation. The fact is, no matter who you are, it's another thing we can't escape. We're all going to be judged. That was mentioned in one of the very first passages that we looked at in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 at verse 10. There is going to be a day of judgment. Acts chapter 17, of course, verse 30 and 31 emphasizes that. Romans chapter 14, verse 11 and 12 emphasizes the judgment. Before that, though, you're going to be raised from the dead, but your situation will already have been sealed. In fact, the moment you die, that's it. You can no longer change things. You have the ability tonight to change things, to make up in your mind, I'm not going to take my own way. I understand there are some things, very serious things, that I simply cannot escape. I'm going to do the right thing and prepare myself for death. And in doing so, prepare myself for judgment. Prepare myself to get the kind of verdict that I want. But you are going to be raised from the dead. And every one of us here tonight, we fall into one of these two categories. You'll either be raised to life or you'll be raised to damnation. And it is all dependent upon how you live your life now. There are some things we simply cannot escape. We ought to be aware of those things. God is such a wonderful God. I've said, and you've heard me say many times, God could have arranged it so that we have to live without sin in order to go to heaven. But we serve a God of mercy. And I'm so glad. I'm glad that God is a God of justice. There are certain things we can rely on and depend upon because God is a just God. He'll never, ever treat us in an unfair fashion, ever. He's never been unfair to anybody at any time. And we can count on that because He is a God of justice. But I tell you, I'm glad that that's not all that God is. There are individuals in this world who are very just and they're people of justice, but they have no real compassion. They have no real mercy. When it comes down to the one that we have to answer to, we want Him not only to be just and fair, but to be merciful. And we want that because we know that all of us here tonight are sinners. And we need the mercy of God. Aren't you glad that God didn't say, you can come on up to heaven if you want. I want you to make it to heaven, but here's the one condition. Don't ever sin. I'm glad that God didn't make that decision to do that. I'm glad that He's a God of mercy. We see it ultimately in the giving of His Son. We see it in God allowing His Son to die on Calvary's cross. He looked down from the windows of heaven and He saw the whole thing transpiring. He could have stopped at it any time, but He allowed His Son to suffer and die for me and for you. And that was all about the mercy of God. Jesus Himself dying on the cross, that was about mercy. Jesus wasn't doing what He wanted to do. He didn't want to do that. But He did it because He's a Savior of love and mercy. Thank God for that. The question is, will you take advantage of it? You still have to live right. You're still going to be held accountable. You still have a responsibility to make up in your mind that you're going to serve God. If you haven't been doing that, change tonight. We've already seen life is a vapor. Don't leave this building here this evening in an undone condition. Because don't forget, death is no respecter of persons. You may never be sitting where you are sitting right now again. You can take advantage of the time that God has blessed you with by either obeying the gospel of Jesus Christ, repenting of your sin and being baptized, Acts 2 at verse 38, or you can repent and ask God for forgiveness if you haven't been living right. You can prepare yourself tonight to meet God. But you will meet Him. We all will stand before the judgment seat of Christ. Will you be ready? I hope if you're not, you'll rectify the situation. And I hope you do it right now. Come forward as we together stand and sing.